Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Welcome back to this week's Life Gathering. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to ask you guys a question first. What is the best gift you have ever received? Okay, if you want to put this in the chat, that's great. Maybe you just want to think about it to yourself. What is the best gift you have ever received? Okay, I can think of a few different things. I can obviously there's a right answer to this, right? Okay, let's be honest. There's a right answer. The best gift we received is salvation through Jesus. We're going to get there. We're going to get there, I promise. If we think about other things, right? One of the best gifts I think I've ever received, it's hard to think about. Have had a lot of good gifts given to me, a gift of marriage, a gift of just different things I need in a certain season, right? Like, I feel like there's some gifts that are really good for things that we need in a moment or things that we need in a time of life. The gift of even just sometimes, honestly, just like a money is like a good gift, right? Sometimes that's great. Sometimes it's clothing that we need. Sometimes it's specific items for maybe a hobby or a passion that we have. We can all receive really great gifts. And actually, this past Sunday, we just here in the U.S. celebrated Father's Day. We celebrate Mother's Day in May. And so this past Sunday, we celebrated Father's Day and my children got me a gift of a couple of books. One was called Dad Tired, right? So very appropriate. As a father, if you have children, you know, it's tiring being a father and a provider, a parent to a child. But they gave me a gift. Now, it would be silly for me to then go back to my wife or my children and say, well, how much do I owe you for that gift? That would be silly, right? Because it was a gift. They didn't expect me to pay for it, but it was a gift because they wanted to give me something because they loved me. And so that's the subject we're going to be talking about today, is this gift, the gift that we have received, the gift that God gives us, right? Because there's a greater gift that God has already given to us, and that's through his son, Jesus. That is the gift of salvation that we're going to find out, we're going to talk about. So God gives us perfect gifts, and he has given us a perfect gift already. So let's pray, and I'll jump into our verses for this week. God, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the people on the call. God, whoever is listening, I pray that they would be blessed by this message, by your words. So God, let me get out of the way. God, come into this place, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and speak. It is only you who can give this message in the right way to be planted in the hearts of the people who are hearing this message, who even will hear it later on, God. So I just pray that you would fill my mouth with your words. Bless me and more of you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. These are the two verses we're going to be talking about today. And so this is what we are going to be focusing on. So Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So when I read this, first of all, I have a question. Paul talks about this before, but if you read this by yourself, if we talk to you on the phone, you've definitely heard this verse. It's very prominent, very easy to memorize kind of verse. But the question I immediately think of is, what is Paul referring to when he talks about this thing that is not from yourselves, right? He says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. What is he talking about when he says this? What's not from ourselves, right? Well, there's going to be a couple things that we will discover, right? Is it the grace that's not from ourselves? That's true. Is it faith that's not from ourselves? That's also true. But there's something greater that we're going to discover. And I want to read this verse to you in the Amplified Version. So it's the Amplified Version is just drawn out a little bit more. It goes and gives us some more description and different things into these two verses. And so it says, for it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation. So there it is, right? Paul's talking about salvation in this context. This salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved gracious gift of God, not as a result of your works, nor your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for his salvation. Okay, now again, the Amplified version, I love looking at this sometimes because it really does put in just different helpful things when it comes to reading these different verses, right? So again, God's grace, the remarkable compassion and favor that's drawing us to Christ. So that doesn't come from us, right? That we've been saved, we've been given eternal life through faith. That doesn't come from us either. This salvation doesn't come from us, right? So really, this is amazing what Paul is saying, because this whole gift of God, none of it comes from us. None of it comes from us. So that's why it's a gift, because the gift that I have received from whoever, the gift that you maybe have received something from someone, didn't come from you. And the same way is true for us, that with the gift that God has given us, none of it has come from us. And so today we're going to be talking about the gift of the Lord. That's the kind of theme, the title of this message, of the gift of the Lord. So let's back up. I want to jump into a little bit of a couple of verses beforehand in Ephesians chapter 2, just to talk a little bit about what God has done, right? It says, starting in verse 6, it says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So I want to talk about this incomparable, the incomparable riches of God's grace. How, like, this is, God's grace is one of the biggest themes and subjects in the entire Bible, because it is something that is so incredibly vast. It's like Paul says, it's incomparable, right? His graces are incomparable to anything we could ever try to think about in this world. There's nothing we can compare it to, because there's nothing that we can truly, there's no amount of words we can truly put to it to help us understand it. But psalmists have tried to do that. And they've given certain psalms, Psalm 103 right here, I'm going to read. They've used words to describe God's grace and his goodness. So this is Psalm chapter 103, verses 2, basically through 12 or so like that. So it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So don't forget God's benefits. "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." That's God's grace. "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." That's God's grace. "Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles," right? That's God's grace. And again, this is all in the Old Testament. I know a lot of times, and I grew up thinking this myself, that the God of the Old Testament was not very loving. The God of the Old Testament was not very graceful. There was a lot of judgment. There's a lot of condemnation from God, because we read that in the prophets. We read a lot of that about the about God's wrath and his judgment, rightfully so, on different nations, on his own people, because they disobeyed him. But that judgment was part of God's grace, right? God is patient. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come to him. God's patient. He waits a very, very long time before he acts in this kind of way, because he's gracious, right? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is the same as he is now, as he was back then. The same grace that we know about through Jesus today, he had back then. Let's keep going. "He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel." That's grace. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious." Okay, it even says it right there. "Slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever." That's grace. "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." That's also grace. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." This is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace in this psalm, right? This is amazing. Again, "as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us." He forgets about them. He says, I don't remember your sins against you anymore, right? And so this is why. In verses 8 and 9 in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith," right? So let's go into this first part, by grace. These are two of the most important words in the entire Bible, because this shows where grace comes from. It shows where our salvation comes from. It's not from us. It's by grace. So grace, as a biblical definition, is it's undeserved, unearned favor of God, meaning that we've done nothing to earn it. We've done nothing to deserve it, but God freely gives it to us. It's a favor from God. It's a favor of God, right? It's his pleasure with us, right? There's been many different ways to describe grace. It's like oxygen. It's like a wave. It's like an ocean, right? Again, you can't fully describe God's grace, but it's been there since time began. At the very, very beginning, the whole way through, God's grace has been existent. It's been evident all through time. Okay? So by grace. That's a very, very important part of what Paul is talking about, this salvation, not being from ourselves. Okay? By grace. The next part says is that it's through faith. All right. So we've learned that's by grace. The salvation is by grace. Now it's through faith. Okay. We know what faith is when people ask, well, how do you know that you have faith? Well, that's something I just believe on the inside that I believe to be true with a deep, deep conviction. I believe that this is true. I believe that this is a real thing because it's in my heart. It's not just my mind. It's not just that I know something. It's that there is something on the inside of me that sometimes I can't even explain why I believe something. I just do. It's just part of who I am. It's part of what's in my heart. So Paul says that this salvation that we have is by grace and it's through faith. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about by faith. A lot of people, the writer of Hebrews describes a lot of people who had something attributed to them by faith. So it says that by faith, we believe that God created the world, that Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice to God, that Enoch walked with God, that Noah obeyed God, that Abraham followed God, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the Israelites, Jericho, Rahab, a prostitute is listed in Hebrews 11. That's incredible. The Hall of Faith, what this is called, Hebrews chapter 11, it says by faith, and it lists a Gentile prostitute. Wild, wild, wild. You should look into that more if you want to do some really good research and learn a lot about who's included in the kingdom of God, okay? Because there's a prostitute listed in Hebrews 11, also part of Jesus's lineage. Bonus points for anybody who wants to go look that up in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Fantastic discoveries in there. So Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, right? By faith, all these people were counted righteous before God because they had faith, right? And so the end of this chapter goes on to say, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. They had faith, but they didn't receive anything for it. Isn't that amazing? They received communion with God. They received friendship with God, but they didn't receive the promise of God. They had faith even though they didn't receive the promise of God. Boy, that will preach for a good while, right? How many of us could have this kind of faith? How many of us could have the kind of faith that say, you know what, God, I believe you have promised me healing, deliverance, freedom, this thing or that thing or whatever it is, this thing in my life. How many of us could say that even if I don't receive that promise, I will still have faith in God? Something to chew on as well. It goes on to say, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Okay? So again, by grace through faith. The salvation is by grace through faith. Salvation, eternal life with God in heaven, is by grace through faith. And Paul goes on to say, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Okay, so Paul's basically saying by grace through faith is the gift of God. By grace through faith is the gift of God. Okay, because neither of these things come from us. Grace does not start with you or me. Faith does not really start with you or me because God, I forget where it says it in the Bible, but it says that I believe Jesus is speaking. And it says that God basically draws us to himself before we take a step towards him, right? That's grace and that's faith. It does not originate with us at all. Because again, by grace through faith is salvation, right? This is the grace of God that we did not deserve, that when God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us and raised him from the dead, right? This is the grace of God that even though we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But now we can receive eternal life when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? Even this verse is Jesus. Even this verse itself is talking about like Jesus himself, right? By grace through faith, right? So a verse that kind of talks about this, of Jesus embodying this, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is John chapter 1, verse 14. We have seen his glory, Jesus's glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? So again, by grace through faith is essentially Jesus. Let me talk about this real quick. Let me just kind of give you an analogy, right? Because you can't really have just grace. You can't have just faith. If we had just grace, well, then we wouldn't have to show our evidence of faith, believing anything anyway. We just have grace, we just move on. If it was just by faith, well, then we would be in trouble. There'd be no reason for us to need grace or to have God's mercy or anything else, right? We could just believe and then God would just pour out his wrath upon us. That'd be bad, okay? So I want you to think of this like, it's almost like a hose with water running through it, right? The water is the substance that someone or a garden or plants or trees, something is in need of the water, okay? So the water is providing the nourishment, the replenishment to something that it's going to, that needs the water, okay? The hose is the means through which it gets to that place. You can't have just the water, because if you just have the water without the pressure of the hose and the water being pushed through the hose to get to where it needs to go, water's just sitting there, it doesn't go anywhere. If you just have the hose with water with nothing going through it, well, it doesn't do any good. There's no nourishment, there's no filling provided for the thing that is in need, okay? If I'm the thing that's in need, if I'm thirsty, I'm going to grab a hose and try to drink out of it, right? The water is what I need. The hose is the means through which it comes. And so the water is like grace. I need it. I can't live without it, okay? I need the water because I can't live without it. But I can't get it unless I have the hose to carry it as well, right? So that's kind of how this is. Grace is like the water. Faith is like the hose through which it carries. Grace is the way of salvation. Without God's grace, we would not have salvation. But we have to have the faith in Jesus as a conduit, as a way to get the nourishment of God's grace. And God ultimately demonstrated his grace by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, okay? A little bit of a, not the greatest analogy in the world, but hopefully you get the point, all right? Let's finish this up. The last part of Ephesians chapter 2, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is so important. This is so, so, so important. This is not by works. Not by anything. It's not by anything that you do that you are saved. There is so much doctrine out there that tells you that you have to work your way to heaven. Even in the Christian world, even in our Christ's followers, there is so much doctrine saying that you have to do good deeds in order to get to heaven. That is so far from the truth. If you hear that, that person is not in alignment with God's word. Flat out simple. If you hear someone say that you have to have works to be saved, that is not in alignment with God's word, right? You can't do enough good deeds. You can't earn enough points to get to heaven, which again, there are other faiths, other beliefs, other religions that say that, well, you have to do a certain amount of good deeds and they have to be heavy in order so that you can receive eternal life. Well, how many good deeds do you have to do? How many do you have to do? What if you missed just one good deed and that was the one good deed you needed to get to heaven? That's a wild kind of way to live. Worrying your whole life, man, do I have enough? What if you missed just one good work? There are other religions that will also tell you that, hey, there's many ways to get to heaven. This is certain things to do, and this is how you can work to get to heaven. But as far as I know, Christianity is the only religion where our God came to say, I'm the way. Not by anything you do, I'm the way to heaven. Through faith in me, you can get to heaven. Not by anything you do. It's not a way. It's not just do these things and you can go to heaven. It's I'm the way to heaven. That's radical and different, right? And again, think about who is saying this. Think about who is writing this letter. This is Paul, the Pharisee of the Pharisees. The Pharisee of the Pharisees, this is the person who would know something about keeping the works of the law so that you can go to heaven. This is Paul saying this, not just a disciple, not just some other person who wrote a letter. This is the Pharisee of the Pharisees who studied under the biggest religious leaders in his time, saying it's not by any of that, actually. It's not by any of that. It's not by keeping the law, right? So again, it's by grace. It's through faith. It's not by your works. It's a gift of God. Salvation, eternal life with God is by grace through faith, not by anything, not by any works you could ever do in your life. Now, I have this last verse in here because it's important. It says, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So it's not that we don't do anything. It's not that we're saved and we just sit back and relax. No, God has created us to do good works so that we can be the light of the world, to be the light in the darkness so that others can see Christ living within us. We serve a living God. He didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. He's a living God because God made him to be that way. God made him to live within us so that we can do good works for the world to see who he is. So we are created to do good works as a result of what Jesus has done in us. The best way I can describe this, right, is that God draws us to himself to be saved, to receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. He comes into our lives. We receive salvation. He does a work within us. God begins working within us. He changes us from the inside. He changes our hearts. He renews our mind. He strengthens our spirits. He does something inside of us so that then our actions become different. Our actions are fruit, the fruit of our lives. We produce the spiritual fruit to show that we are in Christ. Our lives should reflect this. Our lives should reflect what Christ has done in us. Okay, again, it is by grace you have been saved. I split these up a little bit because it's like such, they work so well. So if you have a Bible or if you just want to write this down on your own time and just like, I mean, you can circle kind of each little phrase, right? It's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's by grace through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift. You did nothing to earn this. You did nothing for God to bring his salvation to the world. He did it on his own account out of his own kindness and love for us. And again, Paul says, it's not by works. It's not by keeping the law. It's not by doing any of these things, because it's not that we should be able to boast about what we've done. It's that God gets all the glory through it. By grace through faith is the gift of God. And this is talking about Jesus, y'all. Paul's talking about Jesus. Because when you place your faith in Jesus, you receive the salvation that God has given us freely by his grace and his mercy. This was God's greatest gift. At the beginning of this message, we talked about gifts we've received. And yes, those are fun things. I even kind of talked about it before. God's greatest gift to us was sending Jesus to die and raise him from the dead so that we could have eternal life. God's greatest gift was his son, Jesus Christ. It's a gift. There's nothing you can do to repay God's gift. You shouldn't even try to be repaying it because it's a gift. You don't repay something you've been gifted. God isn't expecting you to repay it. I know we talk a lot about what I can do for God. God doesn't need you to do anything for him. We should want to do those things because that's important. But again, it's not that we receive salvation by doing these things. It's a gift. Because God loves us that incredibly much. Again, how silly would it be to think that if I received a gift from somebody, I would say, how much do I owe you? Right? Now, with God, we do owe him our lives. We do owe him our lives, but he isn't expecting us to do anything other than to receive him into our hearts. God says, I already paid for it all. He says, I paid for all your sins on the cross. I paid for it with my life so that you could be with me forever. God says, I love you so incredibly much that I was willing to do this for you. God says, I love you so much that I was willing to die for you. What if that was the gift somebody gave you? Not just a material thing, that someone was willing to give their own life for you. Because that's what God did for us. That's what God did for us. So my question is, have you received the gift of God? Have you received Christ? Do you believe in him? Do you receive God's grace through Jesus? Is your faith in him? Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you submitted yourself to him? Have you surrendered your life? Have you invited him in to say, Lord, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. If you have said that, amazing. Amazing, amazing. I pray that you will continue to be blessed on your journey with Christ. If you have not received Jesus, God's gift is free. All you have to do is be open and accept him. God's gift is free. He's not expecting you to pay for it. He already paid for it with his life. And so if you are on this call and you are saying, I've never accepted Jesus, I've not actually received this gift into my life, I'm going to share the gospel with you and we're going to pray for you. And you're going to pray with us as well. But Isaiah chapter 53 says that we've all gone astray. We've all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've followed our own path. We've taken the gift that God has given us for granted. We've not really accepted it into our lives. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, here it is again, the gift of God, how appropriate. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gospel says that, again, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the penalty and the price for sin is death. It's death. And this death means eternal separation from God and an eternity in hell. It's bad news. And it means that we need a savior. But the good news of the gospel is that God loves us so incredibly much. And he wants a fellowship and a relationship with all of us. And so what he did is he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price and the penalty for sin in full with his blood. And so because of what Jesus has done for us, we are no longer separated from God, because Jesus' blood has paid for all of our sins. And so now we get to have the gift of eternal life with God. And that means we have a relationship with God on this earth. And then we continue that relationship for eternity when we die and go to heaven. We spend eternity with God forever praising him. And again, it's by grace through faith that you are saved. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's a free gift that he gave to you. Will you accept it today if that's you? And if you are ready to accept Jesus for the first time into your life, if you're saying this is something I need to do, I've never done it before, then I'm going to say this prayer and you can repeat after me and we'll all say it together as well. So we'll say, Father God, I know that I am a sinner and I need you to forgive me. I know that your son, Jesus, died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.